last time on Taverns and Caverns. I now find myself within the depths of Tawny Fortress, an enemy-held stronghold located in the land of Aloria. After being teleported with the group of purifiers sent by Mizuno Amari, we find ourselves destroying a laboratory that the Koldarians used to transform soldiers into monstrous beasts. Luckily, we were able to come across a room filled with Koldarian equipment. A few of us have decided to play the roles of prisoners and Koldarian soldiers, in hopes of tricking the soldiers in the dungeons down below and freeing whatever prisoners that we can in order to help increase our odds of escaping. However, what we find isn't exactly what we expected. I, Ashino Ruri, in the name of my fallen comrades Biggs and Wedge, cannot fail. We must press on and find a way to escape so that we can inform the Alliance. Episode 80, Prisoners of War.
So, as Stella, Yome, and Roy are being pushed into the cell, Hota, Ashino Ruri is looking around the corner. She sees the one guard at the desk. He's still ignoring you guys. He can hear you, but he's like, whatever. I'm reading my book or whatever he's doing. He's writing notes. He doesn't seem to pay much attention. Plus, he's assuming that you're also guards, too. So, he's whatever. But the guard is around the corner where the cell door is, so that the guard at the desk cannot see you guys at this current time. And Ashina looks over at Hota, and she gives you like the thumbs up, as in basically signaling that the other guard's not paying attention. She's just like, thumbs up if you decide to do what you're going to do.
Oh, he's going to get the sneak attack.
Okay, so how are you doing this?
Well, he's going to walk to his side casually. And, he's about to give him what's coming with the scimitar.
Okay, so you're just going to attack him? You have advantage because it's technically a sneak attack.
Damn.
And he's behind him because I want that sneak attack. And he's going to shove this through his back.
Oh, my God.
So let's do the damage plus the sneak attack, which should be 3d6 at this point.
Yeah. All right, so 10 slashing.
Is it 2d6 or 3d6?
You are what level?
4.
Level 4? I believe it's 2d6.
Okay, 2d6. Yeah, I have it right here then.
6 points of damage. Okay. So you take your scimitar out as the guard goes to shut the cell, and he takes the keys to lock the cell, but right before he's able to lock it, you stab him in the back with your scimitar, or are you slashing it? Like, how are you?
He stabbed him in the back with the scimitar and with the sneak attack damage to go with it. He ain't done yet because he still has that dagger.
So as you stab him in the back for a total of 16 points of piercing damage, you see your scimitar. It goes right through his back and out his chest. He goes, oh!
He covers his mouth.
All right, make me a, let's just say, a strength saving throw to try and keep him quiet.
Oh, shit, it's flat. Oh, shit, it's good.
Good.
You take your arm and you wrap it around his mouth to try and just keep it quiet. And you're just like, shh, shh, shh.
Yep.
And he is down. He's done.
I'm going to drag him into the cell and put him behind something that can't be easily seen.
While you're doing this, Ashina Marie standing at the corner, peeking around the corner at the guard at the desk. I'm going to make a roll. All right. I rolled pretty low. He doesn't turn around, so he's not doing anything. So what were you doing?
He's going to drag his body into the cell and place him somewhere that can't be easily seen, somewhere here. I'm stripping him of his armor so he looks like any other prisoner.
Okay.
And I'm going to toss that armor to Roy.
So what are the rest of you doing?
I wrote my sleight of hand because I want to go over here and grab his keys.
All right, so you grab his keys. Yeah, you don't have to make a slap hand for that. You're able to do it. It's right. You know where it's at. So
okay,
you just yoink them bitches out off his belt. Okay,
and I just have them in my pocket. So if you guys do want to leave or something, we can let ourselves out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The two prisoners in that cell with you that are conscious, rocking back and forth. They're just looking at you, rocking and just somewhat stuttering, but they're not really saying anything to you guys. They look out of it. The other two that are just lying there, they're not moving at all.
We came down here to save these dudes. They ain't even worth saving. Let's be honest about this situation. We're using these guys. I'll speak for myself.
I thought we were trying to save them. God damn.
I was using these guys.
Oh, I do have a quick question. Yes. So the armor that Holta and Ashina took was from the equipment room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
From the armor Holta gave Roroi, he's going to stick that in the bag of holding and take one of the newer pieces he took from the sewer and put that on instead.
Okay.
I don't think it would be very useful for this armor has a hole in it. Holta?
Fair enough. You got a point. He's not going to argue. He's right. He's looking at Yome, by the way. He's clapping his hands together in prayer. He's saying sorry.
That's right. You better say sorry, bitch.
Well, the two, or Yome, are you looking at the ones that are passed out? What are you doing? You're kind of off to the side.
I'm going
to
check on this guy.
That's rocking back and forth, or the one on the floor?
Well, the guy on the floor, I figure, is gone.
Okay. So what are you doing then? Or you're asking
What, like a medicine? Just to see if they're like, you know.
Medicine check would be good.
They like dead, you know what I mean? Like, are they worth saving?
All right, 20
Are
medicine.
They going to be able to get out of here with us? Because they got to carry their own weight.
So the one that's next to you rocking back and forth on the floor, again, they're deformed to hell and back. As you inspect his body, you can see his muscles are tensing as you get closer. And he slowly looks up at you. And he has his face half covered with his arms because he's sitting there rocking back and forth and his eyes glare up. He has these bright yellow eyes.
Are you going to experiment on us too?
No.
And as he's looking up at you, you can tell his body is deformed, but it doesn't look weak. With a medicine check of 20, you're... assumption, you don't know what's happened to him, because again, this is all new to you, this transformation stuff the Koldarians are doing. This is crazy shit. You are assuming his body is physically capable of getting up, but you don't know what's happening in the inside of his body. Like, you don't know if it's killing him on the inside, but from what it looks like with his frequent rocking back and forth, it looks like he has the strength to like get up and walk around.
Okay. So I just want to try to talk to him and tell him that we're going to get out of here.
Okay.
We're going to get out of here.
He looks up at you.
Who are you?
I'm Yome. I'm not really anybody, but we got to get out of here. Somebody needs you to get it together, like, quick. Do you want to leave this place?
Of course I want to leave.
All right. That's all I needed to know, brother.
Do you see they've done to us?
I saw something crazy, and I think we need to run.
Hey, tell that half what. Keep quiet.
Oh yeah, don't be yelling, bro.
He turns around. He looks at you. You're going to help us escape, then?
Yeah, that's yes.
Excellent.
Okay.
He
calm down.
But you would assume he would stand up, right? Because he's sitting down, rocking back and forth. But as he says, "Excellent," his back, he's hunched over. You see these spider-like legs burst out of his back. These long spider legs burst out from his back and they hit the ground, and he slowly stands with the spider legs on his back. He's still hunched over, rocking back and forth, but he's now walking with his spider legs towards the cell door.
I knew you were going to do that. I envisioned it, man. I envisioned it. We're on the same wavelength. I hate it.
Yome is in shock. Never seen that before. And I mean, you know, she's got some shifting going on, but not like that.
Yeah, that's disturbing, horror-like shit. And as he's walking towards the cell door, you see one of his spider legs. He has like 8 of them or whatever. He taps the other guy that's rocking back and forth.
Did you hear her?
They're gonna help us. Okay, maybe we're making a mistake. I don't know.
They're going to help us escape. Now's our chance.
And as he taps... the other one that's rocking back and forth, he looks up at the one with the spider legs, and he slowly looks up at the rest of you.
You gotta help us escape! We must escape!
He gets up normally, however, But as he gets up, you can see he gets up with his own legs, begins to walk towards the gates, but his arms, they begin to burst as if he was the Hulk. And he has these scaly, two gigantic arms. It almost looks hilarious with how crazy his arms look.
Not Ryan saying it's hilarious.
Compared to his compared to his body. Just think of two gigantic Hulk arms on like the small guy's body. Like,
so he got anchor arms from SpongeBob. Yes,
he's got anchor slash Popeye arms going on.
He couldn't just rip the raggedy gate off the cell and leave. I won't question that. I'm victim blaming. There's blaming.
Two. I mean, he has to get out of there without buying. That's hard.
So they're getting up and they're getting. Ashina, she sees the two of them and she just steps back. She said,
nah, not me. Not today.
Holta puts his finger to his lips. She's telling him, I know you want out. You guys look pretty charming, but you guys need to stay quiet. There's still a god here.
Yeah, Yome does whatever the version of her god's like Catholic cross thing is. I don't know if it's like the Spira, you know, like praise be to Yevon shit or what, but she does something like that. She does some hand movements, some Naruto hand movements, and she's like, woohoo.
Damn.
I don't know about that one. But
all right. So as they step out, they're looking at you.
Is there a dude down this hall?
So there's other cells, medium-sized cells. There's four cells other than
The guard.
Yes, the one at the desk. He's down the hall in front of the other cells. He's writing some notes in a book.
Oh, we better fuck him up.
But the two prisoners that look at you, they seem off. Like mentally, they're not all there. Like they've been experimented on. They're not normal any longer, but they don't seem to be a threat to you guys. But they're looking at you as Hota tells them to be quiet. The one with the spider legs looks at Hota.
We escape. We kill any Koldarians that get in our way for what they've done to us.
No, easy. No,
good
easy.
Plan.
No, easy.
Good plan.
I'm wearing Koldarian armor, but we are the purest fires. I want you to remember that, no?
You're not Koldarian, then.
Hell no.
Hell no.
So you are disguising as Koldarian.
Yes.
So we can get out of here.
So we can get you guys out of here. As you may say, lovely woman.
There's another god.
Sucking up all of a sudden.
There's another god down the hallway. We must take care of him.
Well.
Yes, I did.
Quietly.
Ashina, you want to take care of that while I keep these two in check?
Ashina looks over.
I'm afraid they're going to go buck wild and just beat the shit out of this dude. Well, I know, but not down here. We want to get outside first.
Right.
So remember, the four other cells, from where you're at, you can see there's a couple other prisoners in these cells. One per cell. There's four cells down this hallway where that prisoner is at the very end of the hallway. You can't tell if there's anyone in that last cell to the right. But you can see the three cells closest to you. There looks like there's an individual in each one of those. But you just can't tell if they're okay or what. But as Ashina turns her head around, fine, I'll take care of them. She begins to sneak down the hallway past the cells to try and get close to that guard. What are the rest of you doing?
Well, we got to take him out first. And then there's only one dude in the other cells. That we can get, right?
From the looks of it, there's one in each cell, three cells. There's three of them, but two of them are on the ground. They look unconscious or dead. You can't tell.
Yeah, they're fucked, right?
Yeah, they're fucked up.
Yeah, so we're not worried about those ones. I'm not dragging bodies out of this prison. We don't have that kind of luxury. So I'm going to wait for Ashina Rui to take care of that guy before we go down there and get the other guy out. Because we have the keys, so we should be able to open that one, right?
Yes. Okay. Stella has the keys.
Yeah.
So is everyone just waiting then for Ashina to sneak?
Yep. Well, yep. I should be back.
Can I stand by the door to see if I hear anything? Anyone coming?
Yeah, make a perception. You're by the stairs going up where you came from.
You probably shouldn't just assume that no one's coming.
All right, make a perception then.
I'm getting there. I have to find it. Damn.
Perception of 20. Now, you do remember the guards that... We're talking about the book. The ones that you're attacking now, they were the ones talking about the book that walked by. They mentioned 4-hour shifts. No one comes down here every 4 hours. You don't hear anyone in the hallway up above where you just came from. It's silent.
Good. Stay that way.
Okay. So Ishino Ruri then is going to slowly begin to make her way, trying to sneak the guard. If she gets caught, she's going to use her disguise as if she was just walking up to him. But as she's about halfway down there, is everyone just standing around the corners then, waiting?
I'm actually going to stand in the hallway just in case. If if things turn sour, Holta has another idea.
Okay.
Just in case.
Stella, are you still in the cell or are you stepping out of there?
I'm still in there for now.
Okay. As Ashina is making her way, before she can even reach the guard, Hota, make me a perception check.
He got it. Oh, it's all terrible.
So with a four, you're I'm gonna say you notice this regardless of what you rolled. What the roll was for is to see if you noticed it in time. You don't notice it in time, so it's too late with a perception of four. No. What happens is, Hota, you feel something just push your right shoulder to the side as if they were pushing you out the way.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And the prisoner with the giant Hulk arms is charging down the hallway.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
He just throws you to the side as he's charging down. So with a perception of four, if you had a higher roll, you would have saw this coming and you would have been able to possibly
charging
stop
down
him.
To Ashina or to the guard?
He's charging to towards the guard.
Okay, I was worried.
And
whoop his ass.
And Ashina Ruri, I'm going to make a perception roll for her as well because we're going to see if she can see or hear this coming. She's got a nat 20, a critical of 24. She hears this guy running down the hallway past the cells towards the guard at the table. However, he's not necessarily running. He's running with his arms. His arms are so massive that he's basically, his arms are his legs. Like he's using his arms to walk. And as he's charging down this hallway with these giant arms, Ashina, she quickly just dives to the side to avoid being hit. And you hear him, "Oh!" And the guard turns around, "What the fuck is going on?" And as he looks up, the giant armed prisoner is midair with both arms up, in balled up into a giant fist, holding his fist together. And he slams both of his fists down onto the guard's face before the guard could even realize what's going on. And as he does so, I'm just going to make a roll. Ooh, okay. So Hota, you're the closest one. You're the only one, technically, because everyone's around the corner. You and Ashina are the only ones that see this. You just see the helmet explode and blood flies everywhere. And as he slams the guard down, he slams the guard through the table onto the ground. And as he pulls both of his fists back that are held together, he just keeps slamming his hands down into the guard. Ah!
Stella runs out of the cell with her key and just is trying to multitask while this is going on and let this guy out.
He sits there breathing heavily as you just witness this guard's head just get pushed into his own body. And as he's lying there dead on the floor, a pool of blood begins to form under this prisoner as he's breathing heavily.
I'm weak. Stella looking over her shoulders while still trying to get the key on the lock for the other gate. And because she, you know, she's not trusting him right now. She's looking real suspicious. But I open the cell and I tell the other guy he's free to come out.
So remember, as I mentioned, that there's four cells. One's empty. That's closest to the guard. Stella's at the second cell closest to the guard that died. And there is a man in there. And the other two cells both have two individuals in them. But each individual in those cells, they're on the floor, passed out. You're not sure if they're even alive. But the one standing in the cell, Stella, in front of you, he is a Yeki, just like Yome. But he's not a fox Yeki. He's a monkey Yeki. So he has some physical characteristics that of a monkey. He's a Yeki of the Jihi monkey spirit. But he is also deformed in his own way. Unlike the other two that you freed, the one in the cell that you just opened to, he's sitting there on a on his bed, or I don't even call him a bed, but his piece of cloth that's on the ground that he's using as a bed. He slowly looks up at you, and he notices what the other prisoner just did to the guard. And he looks at you, Stella, and he slowly just, he looks weak. His body is incredibly thin. Think of, he's slumped over in pain. Think of like Gollum from Lord of the Rings, with mm-hmm. how Gollum was like slinked over and it's incredibly skinny. And he looks up at you. He just, you're not Kuldarians. You're here to save Pepe?
Maybe.
Pepe.
Maybe.
Maybe, Pepe.
Maybe.
I mean, if you can support yourself and come on out of here, sure, but I ain't carrying nobody. This ain't bullet train.
The man, he gets onto the, he gets up, but his hands and feet, he basically crawls towards you, Stella, like kind of like Gollum. He's not crawling on his stomach, but he's like crawling with his arms and walking around with his arms and his hand, his feet. He comes up to you.
What about all of the enemies up above? Are they all dead?
No. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Tepe knows another way. There are two ways you can go. Tepe listens to the guards all the time.
And again, he has obviously been experimenting on as well. He doesn't look 100% normal either. He's got some weird things going on with him, but he just looks up at you, Stella. He's about standing at your height with him being like slouched over on his hands and feet. And he looks at you.
Tepe knows. Tepe listens to the guards talk all the time. There is another way to leave the fortress.
Oh, do tell, Tepe, do tell.
Tepe steps out of the cell and he looks over at the cell that was next to him to his right, the very last cell, and he points.
Many, many months ago, before Tepe became this abomination, the prisoner in that cell dug an escape. Almost escaped Tawny Fortress, but was caught and immediately killed. But the guards never covered up the exit. But it is dangerous. Tepe has listened to the guards, and they say there is monster deep in the caverns below that the general has placed. General Mawu placed a mercenary of Aloria down below to keep people from sneaking in. Or sneaking out, that mercenary took. If Tepe remembers, they called it the Omni Serum, or Elixir of Potential. Turned him into mad, flesh-eating monster. Kuldarians keep him down below, and they feed him people and flesh. But he is down below, but apparently it leads out of a cave, away from fortress.
Well, we have no reason to not believe you. So I'd like to thank you and ask you to take up the burden of leading the way. Also, in the large gen pop cell, there is armor and a weapon, if you know you want that. But, you know, as a primate man, you seem like you're more than naturally equipped to handle yourself. So I'm going to walk over here.
So are these other guys dead or what?
Tepe looks over at Hota and he slowly walks towards you.
Hey, I'm not Kuldarian. I am the purest fire.
He looks up at you.
They are dead. Filled with the elixir of potential as experiments of the Kuldarians. They will not make it. Just as Tepe will not make it either.
He starts coughing up some ichor, black ichor.
Easy now. Easy. Let's sit you down. You have the strength to leave?
Tepe can walk, yes. But okay. Tepe is afraid he will not survive this escape.
Well, you're the best group of fucking people you could be with in this scenario. I'll tell you that. All right. Doesn't seem like we got a ton of time.
Oh, I'll lead the way.
So you all are taking the underground passage? Tepe
yep.
mentioned? Or
okay. Yeah, hopefully yeah. he's not trying to set us up.
Yep.
Roy will start kind of going his bag of holdings and give Yome and Ashina their armor.
But we're not going to try to sneak out of here. Is
I mean, if it's underground, we're just going to go straight outside, right?
That's what you would think, yeah. That's how he explained it. It's an underground. Okay. Basically, a prisoner was able to dig out the ground in his cell, which leads to a cavern underneath the fortress. And that cavern eventually leads to a cave entrance, or exit, I would say, that is outside of the fortress. But he did mention that there was an Alorian mercenary that sided with the Koldarians in terms to get the Omni Serum, is what they call it, or the Elixir for Potential, which is what they're giving the soldiers to transform. And this mercenary basically turned on his own country in order to get that serum. It didn't go the way he thought it would. He basically became a flesh-eating creature or monster, but you don't know much about him other than that the soldiers put him down there as a way to keep people out or keep people from escaping. And they occasionally feed him people or meat of some kind.
Oh, yeah, why not? Jesus.
Yes, so that is what Tepe has mentioned. Again, there was...
Tepe.
Yeah, there's a weird, crazy creature that used to be a mercenary down below that has lost his mind, and the Omni Serum did not do what he thought it was.
Is it possible to sneak past this mercenary?
Tepe looks at you, Hota. Are you asking him?
Yeah.
He looks at you, and he goes, Tepe does not know. All Tepe knows is this mercenary's name. They call him Garo. Garo, after taking the Omni Serum, the guards say he is very sneaky, like a spider, like a snake, like a ninja.
You don't say. I like none of what you're saying. You sure we should go down there?
It is either this, or you fight all the guards up above and the soldiers. And Tepe heard General Renak is now here.
Oh, there's that little caveat in the gears here. Ah, he sighs.
You only have two options Tepe knows of. Tepe has listened to every conversation guards have in prison. There is no other way out.
Yeah, we have a much better chance trying to sneak past one person. Besides, if we make too much noise, hopefully they won't hear it all the way upstairs from underground. Seems like the advantage is on our side from below.
Ah, don't worry, mind me. We got something we have to sneak past that sneaks on us, sounds like.
The prisoner with the giant arms who killed the soldier, he turns around and begins to walk with his arms towards you, towards the party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Hey, arms, I like what you did back there.
I kill all Odarians for what they've done to us. We, or at least I, will make a distraction above. You escape.
He begins to walk up past you guys. He's got bloodlust in his eyes. He wants to kill.
Oh, you're a martyr. Okay.
And he's just pushing you guys to the side if you don't step.
Oh, this is no ankle arms. You don't want to come down and fight the mercenary with us?
Tepe looks over at Hota.
He will not fit in the hole, unfortunately.
Well, he can make his own doors, from what it looks like. Keep shoving me away.
And Stella whispers to Hota,
shh, before he changes his mind.
All right, fair enough.
He'll get us caught for sure. Bye, arms.
He just charges up the stairs, yelling. Ah!
Oh, yeah, that's silent.
His resolve is very strong. Admirable.
The other prisoner with the spider legs coming out of his back, who's walking with the spider legs from his back, he looks at the rest of you.
I wish to join you, but I believe that we will not make it out. Our lives are already lost to this poison that they've injected into our bodies. I wish to escape, but my heart already knows I do not have much time left.
I respect the honesty, man.
I will help arms distract the soldiers.
Pepe, no.
You can escape.
Well, he's calling them arms too.
Right.
Yes.
Wait, this ain't Pepe. This is legs, ain't it?
This is Pepe.
This is Spider-Man.
Oh, legs.
Legs.
Yeah, legs.
What's legs' name?
Yeah, legs, arms.
Legs, arms, and Pepe.
Yep.
Okay.
Legs just shakes his head, though. I understand. Even if we escape, I will not survive very long. And even if I found cure, no one would like to look at me in the village any longer. I am now a monster. But I will die fighting. You escape. Arms and I will show them the power of arms and legs. And he just scurries up the stairs after arms.
Stella puts her fist up and then hits her chest twice.
Real shit.
Real shit.
Man, I'm gonna miss arms and legs.
Oh, I'm putting them in my next freestyle for sure. They earn that shit.
An ode to arms and legs.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have much time. They will know we are here. Let us go. I will show you the way. Follow Tepe.
Lead on, Tepe.
And he turns around. He quickly runs over to the last cell. He runs to the last cell. He points at Stella because you have the keys. Quickly, unlock the doors. We must get through.
Unlock them doors, bitch.
Are we going? Sorry, is it this?
It's the one by Tepe over here.
Oh.
Okay.
Oops. Tepe been digging.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, as you go to unlock,
I'm getting the fuck out of here.
As you go to unlock the gate to that cell, Tepe rushes in and he grabs the torn up mattress that's on the floor and he lifts it up. And as he lifts it up, he points. There is a medium sized hole right there that goes into the ground.
See? Tepe does not lie.
Never doubted you for a second.
In this hole leads to cavern underneath fortress. But Garo awaits. You must sneak through. Maybe fight Garo. Tepe does not know. But Tepe will go with you until Tepe breathes his last breath.
That, Tepe, is what we call a ride or die.
Sounds dark. I was planning on sending your ass some cookies. Got a New Year's.
It fucking stinks. Let's go.
Let's go.
So the party, y'all jump down the hole?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So as you all begin to go down this hole that the Koldarians never covered up, they decided to put a crazy creature down below to keep anyone from escaping, which sounds kind of worse than just covering the hole up.
go ahead. I'm going to
reveal a map real quick up above.
You see that map? Yep.
So go ahead and place your characters where I'm pinging in the middle of the map.
All right.
So as the party makes their way, it's a tight fit, extremely tight fit. Luckily, you're able to make it through because you're all medium-sized creatures or small with Stella's case. Pepe makes it through as well. And as you all crawl through this tight hole, you eventually find yourselves falling a good 15 feet down or so. You're able to catch yourselves, though. You're not going to take any damage. But it leads you down into a dark, musty, light cavern. It's extremely dark. There's no lights whatsoever. So you'll have to create lights if you have the ability to. But it is pitch black. And you can just hear dripping water in the distance. Just small short spurts of water, like a drop of water every few seconds. And that's really about it.
Party B down here?
It is quiet as fuck. But as you're all there in the dark now in this cavern, Tepe slowly points.
Tepe believes we leave this way.
So you have dark vision, Yomi. You can see with your dark vision, but it is still pitch black for everyone else. So
I got dark vision.
I got dark vision.
Oh, y'all got dark vision? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Roroy don't.
He got night vision goggles.
I got night goggles. Night vision goggles. Okay. Got goggles at night.
All right, cool. So
he pulls on the goggles.
So again, there is nothing about this cavern that is man-made whatsoever. It was just the fortress was made on top of a cavern, and for some reason, the prisoners knew there was a cavern beneath it, and they were able to dig their way into this cavern. But as you look around, make me perception checks real quick. So I'm assuming you're going to look around to try and find the exit. Ashina cannot see. She's human, so...
Holta grabs her hand. Don't worry, honey boo-boo. I got you on the site.
Honey boo-boo.
Well, you wrote a persuasion, and it's quite low.
Oh, my bad.
She snatched her hand away.
You did not persuade her. Yeah, she said, I'd rather get lost in the dark. Fuck this.
Bro, she takes your arm. She flips it like you see in WWE, how they slam their arms while standing. She squishes your arm, and she just slams you on the ground. She fucking gives you the rock bottom.
I'm done. Stella turns around. Shh.
That's not me that's flirting. It's her.
So we have a 22 perception, a 24 perception for Yome, 22 for Stella, 19 for Hota, and Roroy with a 14. So you all are able to look around. So you all can see there are several paths you can take. There are three paths, one to the north of you, one to the west, and then one to the east. Now, you don't know where these paths lead. It's pure darkness. However, in the room you're in, it's a fairly decent-sized room that you're in within these caverns. You do notice something disturbing about this room. There are skulls laid around, probably a good 10 or so skulls. They look humanoid in some way, medium-sized skulls. There are bones scattered around places. And there is also what looks like a pot, a metal pot, like a cauldron, that it's not on fire or brewing anything, but there is water or liquid, at least, in this. And it's to the north passage, almost along the north passage. And it looks like there's some bones sticking out of it. And that's what you all see with all your perception. Now, only one person is going to see what I'm about to describe. The 24 is Yome. Everyone else, you saw everything I just described. But Yome, with you being, you know, foxy, yucky, you're a little bit more keen right now. I mean, you're kind of freaked out. You're in this underground cavern with some guy named Garo you've never heard of. But what you can see, or more so I'd say smell in this case, is a stench that the others don't necessarily catch on to right away with your fox nose. And as you sniff around, you're looking around in other areas that the others might not notice. But to the right of your shoulder, you turn around and your gaze, you look up, and with your dark vision, you see this medium humanoid-like figure standing, or I should say not standing, but crawling on the ceiling to the east of you. He's up on the ceiling, crawling. He has two arms, two legs, but he has this gigantic hunchback. Like, he's almost a large creature with how big his hunchback is, but he's still considered medium. But it's like something is about to burst from his back.
Mm-mm.
But as he's crawling on all fours on the ceiling, you notice his right arm, Yome. He looks down at the party, and on his right hand, he has these blades. Think of like each finger having a blade, like Edward Scissorhands kind of, but not scissors. It's just each finger has blades, kind of like not Wolverine, but
this sounds like something from Nightmare Creatures, man.
Right.
Yeah, well, he's also has this dark green tone to his skin, and one of his eyes are bulging out of his skull, much bigger than the other. He looks completely deformed, but he's just crawling on the ceiling, and you look up and you see him. He doesn't know that you know he's there because it's pitch dark. He doesn't know you guys have the dark vision, but you can see his tongue slowly comes out of his mouth. It's a long tongue that wraps around the blades on his hand. So the blades on his hand aren't part of him. It's a weapon that is on his hands. Again, you're thinking it's the mercenary that took this elixir that changed him. And this is probably what his weapon was when he was a normal person. But he's just staring as his long tongue that stretches about 3 feet wrap around his blades and his hands as he just stares at the group. And as Yomi, as your eyes make contact with his, he quickly scurries across the ceiling, but no one hears him. He's incredibly quiet. And I'm going to place him.
Replace him with that map.
Actually, I'm not placing him on the map because you don't know exactly where he went.
Damn.
Yomi, what do you do? You're the only one that saw that.
What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you suppose is in that cauldron?
I whisper very quietly and tell them that I just saw something spooky.
Spooky. Specify.
It might be more specific.
Something that probably wants to kill us. I don't. What do you want me to do?
Oh, you're gonna have to nail that down for us some more.
What? It could be a soldier. It could
Where
be
is it? Where did it go?
It scurried across that way. I don't see it anymore.
Oh,
that helps.
So let's avoid it if we can.
Yeah, let's not be sheep. We gotta get out of here.
We gotta get out of here.
Here, it looks like this guy.
Does it look friendly?
It did not look. It did not look friendly. I'm gonna send you a picture in the chat.
Did it look like legs?
Looks not like a picture in the chat. It looks like this guy.
No. I hate that guy.
Why does he look like Baldo? Goodbye.
Except as I described him, just imagine his hunchback's much bigger than that.
Oh, like he got eggs on his back. Yeah. His back is pregnant. Goodbye.
Yeah, yes.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
So as
he's worse than Shu Magoo.
He is worse than Shu Magoo. I don't like it.
So as Yome sees him scurry off, she tells the party, and Ashino Ruri looks around. Well, my eyes aren't that good here in the darkness. You all have better eye vision than I in here. Tepe is looking around. He's sniffing.
Eye vision than I.
Tepe can smell Garo.
What does it smell like?
Tepe knows Garo is watching us.
And as Tepe steps forward, he's going to walk towards that.
Can we keep Tepe as a pet?
Oh, it doesn't look like Ryan's going to keep Tepe around very long.
Well, wow. I don't like quite human anymore, right? So
I mean, he's like Gollum at this point, basically. Yeah.
Is Gollum not basically a pet?
He smells around. And Tepe, you can see he has a few strands of hair on his head and his back. They begin to stand up straight. Because again, Tepe was an experiment by the Koldaran. So he's got some crazy powers too that they were trying to infuse with him, but obviously he's dying. He's a failed experiment for the most part. But Tepe's hairs begin to stand, and Tepe quickly screams, "He is above you! Tepe sees him above you!"
Oh, fuck.
And as he says that, you all look up, and right above the party, you see the mercenary known as Garo. Are hanging above you with his claw in the dirt of the ceiling. And he just has this evil grin. He begins to cackle.
Flesh, Garo, eat flesh. Children of Garo, come out and feast with Garo.
And as he's hanging upside down. So his back's pointing at you guys as he's looking over his shoulder at you. And you can see he doesn't have a shirt on. You just see his hunchback. And his hunchback, think of is it's like a, as it begins to peel open, it looks like a honeycomb, like a hive. You know, like how bees and hornets come out of those, like those hive-shaped cones. In each one of those holes in his back, you see this pulsating white goo begin to pop like a pimple, and you see these four oval egg-like nasty things pop out of four holes in his back that land on the ground all around you as this nasty bodily fluids begin to drip from his back after these four little pimple things pop out, and the four things look like little oval eggs that begin to hatch.
Disgusting.
As they drop on the ground, and as they begin to hatch, you notice they turn into these small, smaller than Stella's size, these small like versions of Garo, but but instead of claws on their hands like he has, their hands, they don't have any hands. They have their bones sticking out of their arms as blades. And they begin to slowly wake up as the ichor and goo around their bodies begin to come off of them. And they all begin to hiss at you as Godro looks down and he prepares to attack the party, surrounding you with his spawn. The party is now going into combat with Godro, the mercenary.
And Godro Juniors.
And Godro Juniors. And we will end this episode of Taverns and Caverns there.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks again for listening to another exciting episode of Taverns and Caverns, everyone. If you enjoyed our shenanigans, we ask that you please leave us ratings and reviews on Apple iTunes or any other podcast platform that you use. Also, please be sure to check out the Taverns and Caverns Patreon for exclusive content that you won't want to miss. You can find me on Twitter at HaphazardDM.
Yo, I'm Bri. I play Stella. And you can follow me on Twitter at Blaze_NancyBriKing. Or NBK.
I am Robert Jones, and I played Hota Lu Bei. You can find me on YouTube, Truebone, TRUBONE.
I'm Felicia, and I play Yome. You can find me on Insta or Twitter at Dagger Tribal.
I'm Rod, or Rodimus, playing Roroi Rice. You can find me on Twitter at Rodimus7901 or at Instagram at Rodimus83.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Those are all of our players and our cast members for Taverns and Caverns Season 2. Until next time, take care.